This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah, I'm begging you to make me love the deeds that will cause you to love me too. Oh Allah, there is nothing that can compare to the wonder and the joy you bring. Oh Allah, you can fast and pray all day and give your money away, but if you don't love for Allah's sake,
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to another episode of The Strangers. And so in the previous episodes, we have been going through some pieces of advice that is valuable for every single Muslim stranger out there in the world today. Whether it be a Muslim living among a majority of non-Muslims or a Muslim living in a Muslim society, among his brothers and sisters in the deen, and yet when he adheres to the teachings of the deen, he's looked at as a stranger. And so one of those pieces of advice for every single stranger out there in the world today is to stay clear of every single fitna, to stay clear of all fitan, all types of fitnas, whether they be big or small, whether they be apparent or hidden. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that this is a reality that we will all face, that it's not as easy and as simple as to say that we have believed, we have accepted the message of Allah, and now we have started to tread that path, and that's it. We have a free ticket to Jannah. No, it's not that easy. Rather, the more you adhere to it, the more difficult it will become. Yes, it's not that easy. Why? Because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya," that the product of Allah, it's not cheap. It's not a cheap commodity. You have to sacrifice for it. And the commodity that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to is Jannah. And so Jannah is not something cheap. It's not something that you could easily attain. But that doesn't mean you need a lot of money in order to attain it. No. You need a lot of deeds. And so it is the deeds that will earn you that very, very expensive and valuable commodity. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He will not leave the believers in the state in which they are in without testing them. And so this is a reality. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they will simply be left alone to say that they have believed, and we are not going to test them? And so Allah will test us. And these are the fitan, these are the fitnas, the tests and trials in this life. And then Allah says right after that, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says that surely we tested with similar tests and trials and fitan those who came before them, to see who among them will be the truthful ones and who will be the liars, the untruthful ones. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test the people, to see who among them is true in their faith. It's not as simple as to say that we have believed and then that's it. No, there's going to be tests. There's going to be trials. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us in another place, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. Do you think that you're going to enter Jannah and not be tested? Not be afflicted with the harms, the difficulties, The same harms and difficulties that those who came before you were afflicted with and were shaken as a result of. حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله. Until the messenger and those who believed with him, they said, when will the aid of Allah come? When will the victory of Allah come? ألا إن نصر الله قريب. That verily, Allah responds, verily, the victory and the aid of Allah is near. It is very close by. But it's not going to come without test and trial. And so the reality is that the believers will be tested. And so, just like the earlier believers, the first strangers in Islam were tested with torture, with ridicule, with persecution, with economic and social boycotts, until they had nothing to eat, nothing to wear, and they were completely isolated until they asked the same question. When will the victory of Allah come? And so, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, one of the young companions, he asked this question to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, look at our situation. Do you not see what we're going through? Look at the torture, the persecution. Will you not ask Allah to bring us victory, to make us victorious over these people? Because he knew that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua to Allah, that it would be accepted. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that verily those who came before you, they were tested and they were persecuted and tortured, nothing like what is happening to you today, until one of them would be taken and a saw would be put over his head and he would be told to revert from his religion, abandon his Islam, and he would refuse. And so a saw would be taken and cut him in half. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. However, you are a people who are impatient. You want the victory to come quick. You want the relief, the aid of Allah to come quick without going through hardship, without going through test and trial. And so the reality is that we will be tested and tried. These are the fitan that we have to flee from. These are the tests and the trials that we have to cope with. And so in one of the ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned one of the characteristics of the ghuraba, of the strangers, one of those traits was that they are a people who flee from fitan for the sake of their religion. They flee from all kinds of fitan for the sake of their religion. And so we have two kinds of fitan. We have two kinds of tribulations and tests that Allah tests us with in this life. Aside from the calamities, aside from the adversities that Allah afflicts us with, there are two kinds of tests, two kinds of fitan. They are the fitan of ash-shubuhat and the fitan of ash-shahawat. And so ash-shubuhat refer to the doubts. The doubts that come to our mind regarding our religion. The doubts that come to our mind, that shaitan whispers in our mind, that our enemies whisper in our minds regarding the truthfulness of Islam, regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact, regarding Allah. All of these are doubts that come to our mind. These are fitan that we have to ward off. And the second kind are the fitan of ash-shahawat. And they are basically the fitan of lustful desires that we see most of mankind drowning in. Women, wealth, chasing after the dunya. This refers to the fitna of ash-shahawat. And so, these two kinds of fitan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of and warned his ummah from. And so, we'll have a look at these ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned both of these kinds of fitan. But before that, we'll take a quick break. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm begging you
to uplift Iman. Iman every believer should have.
If we really want,
I'm begging you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Before the break, I had mentioned that there are generally two kinds of fitan, two kinds of trials or tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with. And these fitan are other than the calamities, the adversities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts us with. Such as, you know, adversities, the death of a loved one, falling into illness, becoming sick, and so on and so forth, losing our wealth, and so on and so forth. Those are adversities, calamities. But here what we want to talk about are fitan. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of the traits of the ghuraba, the strangers, when Islam will return as something strange, is that they are a people who flee from fitan. They flee from fitan for the sake of their religion. Just like the young companions of the cave, Ashab al-Kahf, that Allah has mentioned to us their story in Surah al-Kahf, where their people were disbelievers and used to associate partners with Allah. They were idol worshippers. And so they believed in Allah alone, and they did not want to be affected by their people in terms of their religion. So they fled for the sake of their religion. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us regarding the two kinds of fitnas. And what I mentioned before the break is that there are two kinds of fitan: the fitan of ash-shubuhat, the doubts that come to our mind, and the fitan of ash-shahawat, lustful desires. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about both of these kinds of fitan. As for the first, the fitan of ash-shubuhat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Be prompt in doing good deeds before a time comes when there will be many fitan. And these fitan will be like part of a dark night," meaning you cannot distinguish what is right and what is wrong in these times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went on to say that in these times of fitan, a man, he will be a believer in the morning, and by nightfall he will have become a disbeliever, a kafir. And he will go to sleep at night as a believer, and in the morning he will wake up as a kafir, a disbeliever. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this individual will sell his iman for the sake of the dunya, for the sake of worldly enjoyment. And so we could see that these individuals are affected in their deen, in their religion. They abandon their religion because of doubts. These are the fitan of ash-shubuhat. And these fitan are so many today. There are so many doubts that come to the minds of the Muslims that are coming to us from both the internal enemy, the hypocrites among us, who are known as secularists, as liberals working for the enemies of Islam, and the external enemy, who, after realizing that they cannot put out the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by force, therefore they wage an ideological battle, an ideological warfare, and so they have so many ideologies that they are pumping into the brains and minds of the Muslims, especially the young ones. And so they want us to believe that there's no contradiction between Islam and what they have of secularism, of democracy, and so on and so forth. And so we have so many ideologies in our times today. It reminds us of, in the time of the companions, that is what they also used to say, that we used to have idols that we used to replace every now and then, just like today, where one day you believe in one thing, and then tomorrow you believe in something else. And so one of the companions, Abu Raja, he said, we used to worship an idol. We used to worship an idol, and if we found a better one, we would throw that one away. If we found a better one, we would throw that one away. If we could not find any stones to make an idol, then we would gather some soil, and then place that soil on top of a donkey, and then we would make tawaf around it. Look at the state of the people before Islam, and then look at what happened to them and how Allah raised them after Islam. This reminds us that the fitan of ideologies today in our time resembles the fitan of Quraysh with their idols. And so they abandoned revelation and demanded everything from their intellects. As for the second kind of fitan, they are the fitan of ash-shahawat. The Prophet ﷺ told us about. And so he said, I swear by Allah. He was speaking to the companions. And so he said, I swear by Allah, it is not poverty that I fear for you. Rather, what I fear for you the most is that the treasures of the dunya will be presented to you as it was presented to those who came before you. And you will compete with one another for those treasures, for the dunya, just like those before you competed for it. And eventually it will destroy you just like it destroyed those who came before you. And so these are the shahawat of the dunya. These are the fitan of ash-shahawat, the lustful desires. And so the world today is filled with it. And Muslims in many places, in many instances, are at the forefront. Unfortunately, you see many Muslims chasing after the dunya, becoming tested, that fitna of ash-shahawat, being tested with women, not controlling their desires, being tested with wealth, chasing after it even if through haram means, and chasing after the dunya in general, and simply submitting to their lustful desires. But the reality is that these two fitan, the fitan of ash-shubuhat and the fitan of ash-shahawat, there is a strong connection between the two. And there is a relationship between ash-shubuhat and ash-shahawat. And that relationship is basically that the one who eventually ends up in the fitan of shubuhat and he starts to doubt his faith, it only resulted because he was tested with ash-shahawat. And so the majority of people who you see today who are tested with their iman and end up doubting Islam and eventually end up becoming atheists, we ask Allah to protect us, are usually those who did not protect themselves against the fitan of ash-shahawat. They followed their lustful desires. And so as a result, shaitan came to them with what was worse. And we can see this connection where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ تَمَتَّعْ بِكُفْرِكَ قَلِيلًا إِنَّكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. Allah tells His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, enjoy your disbelief for a while. Indeed, you are from the dwellers of the hellfire. And so enjoyment, this refers to lustful desires. Enjoy yourselves in the dunya. Fulfill your desires. Eventually, you're going to be in the hellfire because of your disbelief. And so looking for short-term enjoyment in this dunya is the reason behind every disbelief, behind every sin. And so shubuhat, doubts that come to the minds of the believers, they sprout from the ground of ash-shahawat. And so they come from the seeds of ash-shahawat. And so we need to protect ourselves from both of these fitan, the fitan of ash-shubuhat and the fitan of ash-shahawat. And the strongest way to protect ourselves from that, especially in the times in which we're living in today, in these times of strangeness, when the true Muslim is looked at as being a stranger, the greatest way to protect us from these fitan is to strengthen our iman in our hearts. Once that iman is strong, it will be a fort that will repel all of these fitan that come to us. Just like a strong fort protects those inside of that fort from the outside enemy, the Muslim who has strong iman in his heart, he builds for himself a fort that protects him from the arrows of his enemy who throw the fitan of ash-shubuhat and the fitan of ash-shahawat at him. And so we see that the one with the strongest iman, he could protect himself from these fitan. And so our desires, which are natural, we all have desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with these desires. However, there are those who can control those desires compared to others who cannot. And so, whims and desires are like the wind. They are like the breeze and the wind. It moves even the lightweight. The wind, the breeze, it could move even a feather. And so whoever's iman is light in his heart. It is not strong, it is weak, and it is light. The slightest of breeze and the slightest of wind will cause him to deviate, will throw away his iman. On the other hand, whoever's iman in his heart is heavy, is stable, is strong, even if storms and strong winds come at it, it won't knock it down. And so, the one with weak iman, his iman is like a feather. The slightest of wind comes and blows it away. While the one with strong iman, he is like a strong tree. No matter which wind comes to knock it down, no matter which storm comes to knock it down, it does not knock it down. And after having strong iman, the next best way to protect ourselves from the fitan of ash-shubuhat and ash-shahawat is by equipping ourselves with knowledge. And so the one who has knowledge of the deen and he knows the truth from falsehood, he remains steadfast in times of fitan, whether they be fitan of ash-shubuhat or fitan of ash-shahawat. And he who fitna comes to him while he does not have any knowledge, he becomes confused, he wavers, and he goes astray. And that is why Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, that companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who always used to ask about the fitan in the future that will afflict this ummah, afraid that, you know, one day he will end up being afflicted with those fitan, he said,